Desert Island Discs. Each week, a well-known person is asked the question, if you were to be cast away alone on a desert island, which 8 gramophone records would you choose to have with you? As usual, the castaway is introduced by Roy Plumley.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? Our castaway this week is a very popular broadcaster. We've heard him presenting many record programs and programs on jazz, and he's also an exceedingly accomplished guitarist. It's Ken Sikora. Ken, how do you think you would take to being a solitary exile?
I might actually enjoy it, just for a while.
Is there any one thing you'd be happy about having got away from?
Apart from the usual sort of blessings of civilization, like smells and noises, I think I'd be glad to get some leisure to, not only to think, but to do practical things with my hands, which I don't have time to now.
Yes. We've heard you talking about records often enough on the air. You must know thousands. You think that's going to make it more difficult for you than for most people to narrow your choice down to 8?
Oh, indeed, yes. I've had long thoughts about this. It's difficult enough, you know, to get down to a nice sort of fat hours programme of records. And to get down just to 8 records has been really difficult.
Your basic 8.
Yes.
Did you have any plan in setting about making your choice?
Only that, I suppose over the last 8 or 9 years, my own taste in music has become very much more broad-minded. And in fact now I try and sort of encourage other people's tastes to be the same, and so consequently I would like to take with me to as large an extent as possible a cross-section of my tastes.
Mm-hmm. What's the first one you've chosen?
Well, this first one is a little piece of South American music from the lonely mountains of the Andes. It's played on 2 flutes, which I think are made of silver, but could be made of clay. And I can remember during the war, when we were short of musical instruments, I tried to make pipes out of reeds and things like that. One day I shall. But in the meantime, I'd like to listen to Los Incas playing the theme de Huayno.
The Huayno, played by Los Incas. What's your second choice, Ken?
Well, my second choice is a piece of music from the repertoire Duke Ellington. When I was very young, I started to buy records, because in those days they were all 78s, and it was possible, even when I was at school, to sort of save perhaps a shilling a week by walking to school or playing football on the way to school, that sort of thing. And, of course, a brand new record would only cost 1 and threepence or 2 shillings,
yes,
in those
indeed.
Days.
Mm.
And I started collecting these sort of threepenny and fourpenny ones from junk shops. And somehow I found myself with a collection of Ellington. And quite honestly, I'd never looked back. So this really has to represent all the Ellington records that I like. This particular one is a piece of mood music that's called Dusk. But actually, it could quite easily be sunrise or hot afternoon on a desert island.
Duke Ellington and his orchestra, Dusk. Now, Ken, some personal background. Sikora is a very unusual name.
Yes, my father was Czech. He came from Bohemia, which makes me, I suppose, a genuine Bohemian.
Yes. Were you born in London?
I was born in London, yes. My mother was Swiss and my father Czech. They settled in London.
Yes. Did you hear a lot of music in your home as a child?
Quite a lot, yes. My father was an amateur musician. My sisters, who were both 8 and 9 years older than me, were given a proper training in music, and then, as soon as they were able to, they gave up playing, which rather disappointed my father, I think. So, consequently, I wasn't trained.
Mm.
And after about 3 or 4 years, I was clamouring for musical instruments.
What particular instrument? The guitar right away?
Well, stringed instruments, which eventually focused onto a guitar. At least, I thought it was a guitar, because the first instrument that I bought was through one of these mail-order advertisements in a Saturday morning newspaper, which sort of said, guitar, 5 shillings. I thought, marvellous, you know, off goes the 5 bob, scrounged from various people. And back came a potty little wooden box called ukulele. Well, a ukulele doesn't take very long to learn, and the interest quickly wore off.
Mm.
But I did, in fact, about the same time when I was about 12 years old, manage to buy my first guitar, which was a 4-string tenor guitar. Local shop, cost 30 shillings.
Now, you had no idea, of course, at this time of being a professional musician. What was it your first ambition to be?
I wanted to have something to do with maps, plans, diagrams, something like that. Possibly an architect, but my maths was against that. So eventually I became a geographer.
Yes. You read geography at Cambridge?
I took a degree in geography eventually, geography and economics.
Yes. Were you keeping up your music?
I was playing all the time, playing in school concerts and things like that. And then eventually, when I went to Cambridge, I joined the Cambridge University Dance Band. Mm-hmm. I joined it the year after Jimmy Edwards left.
Yeah. I believe you were discovered, though.
I was discovered when we were playing at a dance opposite the Giraldo Orchestra. They were the sort of big band of the year, and this was the big ball of the year. And we were playing alternate hours with them. After a couple of hours, I was sent for, and I thought, well, what on earth have I done wrong? But in fact, they invited me to play on one of their Sunday concerts, which, of course, at that time were a rarity. There were very few Sunday concerts. I was to be a guest soloist. Well, I was only 17, quite irresponsible. I still had no thoughts of being a professional musician. I just went along, I hadn't prepared anything, and I found myself the other soloist with George Shearing.
You were in distinguished company. What did that lead to again?
Well, it led to some offers to turn professional, which I didn't accept. I wanted to get as much of my university career in as I could, because I was due for call-up. So, in fact, what it did lead to was 5 years in the army.
Yes. The army took you to the Far East, I believe.
Yes.
Where particularly?
To India, Burma, Malaya, places beyond.
Mm-hmm. In the intelligence corps?
Yes.
Well, let's break off at this point and have your third record. What shall we have next?
Well, my third record really connects up two things. One is the fact that I did start collecting records when I was very young, and at that time, the man who was really leading the field was Bing Crosby. In fact, Crosby in himself sort of reflects the history of popular music. And when I was in Burma with the 14th Army, we got stuck for a few weeks in one place, and we got to know the local villagers very well, and they had one Crosby record in their collection, and this was it. It's easy to remember.
It's easy to remember, but so hard to forget. I hear you whisper, I'll always love you. I know it's over, and yet it's easy to remember, but so hard to forget.
Bing Crosby, it's easy to remember. How long were you in the Far East, Ken?
I was out for over 4 years.
And when you were demobilised, back to Cambridge?
No, back to London. I took a degree at the London School of Economics.
Yes. Presumably, of course, in the army you had more or less dropped your guitar playing.
I did really give up playing guitar, I suppose, for 8 years altogether, the army, and when I came back to university.
Mm-hmm. What did you do after you left university?
I took a diploma in education and became a teacher.
Yes.
And after a couple of years of teaching, I eventually took up the guitar again.
Mm-hmm. You never had a guitar lesson, is that true?
I've never had a lesson, no, but I wouldn't recommend it to anybody else.
You learned the hard way.
I did indeed.
Mm-hmm. Classical as well as jazz?
Well, I think to become a proficient classical guitarist, you've got to devote a very large amount of time to it, and to become a really good classical guitarist, it just has to be your life. Guitar is such an enormous instrument, or at least it has an enormous repertoire, that any one individual can only hope to play a little bit of that. Mm-hmm. My particular bent was to jazz guitar, but I always appreciated, I think, pretty well every other form of guitar playing until very recently.
What do you mean by that?
Well, some of the noises that are produced now are not
oh,
really
I see.
Guitar
yes.
music. They're, yes. they're mechanical or electrical noises.
Yes, I think I know the ones you mean. Well, let's have another record.
Well, this is a guitar record, and by one of the greatest of classical guitarists, Segovia. And I'd like to combine this with another great love of mine, which is the music of Bach. So this is Segovia playing a Bach gavotte.
Segovia playing a Bach gavotte. Picking up on your career, Ken, now you were teaching, where was this?
I taught in grammar school, secondary school, and ended up as a technical college lecturer.
Yes, and you were playing the guitar in the evening?
Yes, most evenings, or listening to records, or studying music, or doing something of that sort.
Yes, you're really living a sort of double life. You were also broadcasting?
I started broadcasting during that time, yes, doing record programs and playing guitar.
Yes.
In fact, the first program I did as a guitarist under my own name was with my own group, which was a bit terrifying, mm-hmm. and Bruce Turner was in the group. Not only that, but the guest artist was Stefan Grappelli, which was even more terrifying.
Was this double life appreciated by your students?
They didn't seem to mind, actually. They,
I think they would.
They sometimes wondered if I was the right person, you know. They'd ask who I was. Was I the same Ken Sikora that played guitar? So I'd say, well, as a matter of fact, that's my brother. I'd say, well, but you've got exactly the same name. I'd say, well, twin brothers.
But this was pretty hard work, keeping the two going together.
It was hard work, yes. I know sometimes my educational superiors would wonder whether my job wasn't suffering. I don't think it did.
Mm-hmm. But eventually you gave up teaching.
Eventually I gave up teaching and the nice security of a regular monthly check and superannuation and pension and all this business and took a shot at this freelance lark.
How long ago was this?
That was just over 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've done all right since, Ken. Let's have a record number five.
Well, I think we ought to have something cheerful. And this is a nice sort of swinging piece of music by a young lady that I first appreciated when she was singing with Benny Goodman's orchestra. I think she's got a very warm voice and a great stylist, Peggy Lee.
Things are swinging, birds are singing, and just what do you think those bells are doing but ringing? 'Cause they have to ring to make this whole thing rhyme. And you know that things are swinging all the time. If the news is what the blues is, then we better just practice up on our ones and twos.
Peggy Lee, Things Are Swinging. Now, Ken, since 1957 you've been working full-time in music and broadcasting and journalism. Which have been the important events, so far as you're concerned?
One was a series called Guitar Club, which I suggested, and which ran for 3 years with me playing on most of the programmes and announcing them. And this was a marvellous experience. Although it was hard work, at the same time it was very enjoyable, meeting a lot of very fine guitarists, a lot of very interesting people. Another programme was those Record Years, which ran for about a year. This again, you see, combined some of my own tastes and enjoyments, so it went back to my youth when I first started collecting records.
Yes.
And I was able to do a lot of research. I mean, there was a tremendous amount of work attached to it, and yet it wasn't really work.
And, of course, there was Roundabout.
Yes, Thursday Roundabout was our pet for 3 years. I was working with old Jack Singleton, who's a marvellous man, you know, with a real human touch.
And now what? LP Parade?
LP Parade at the moment, yes, that's a baby of mine, together with Alan Dell.
Yes.
We're trying to deal with the quality popular music that seems to get left out of everything else.
Mm-hmm. And Jazz Today you're doing as well.
Yes, the odd jazz programmes.
Now, you're one of the busiest freelance broadcasters in the business, yet you manage to live in Suffolk. How do you organise this, Ken?
Well, it is a matter of organisation, really. I think it's a marvellous idea to live in the country.
So do I. Have you any big ambitions you're aiming at? Any pet projects?
Not really. I've got so many things. You know, I tend to be a jack-of-all-trades in lots of ways, although all these trades do connect the same things. I mean, my interest in music, in the guitar, my interest in education and so on are all combined in a lot of the things I do, so that I've got two books which I ought to get on with writing. I've produced odd little pieces of music occasionally. I'd like to do that more. If I ever won a football pool, I think I'd retire for a couple of years and really study theory and composition.
Well, let's have record number 6 now.
Well, this is a record of the Violin Concerto by Max Bruch, which I suppose it was written about 100 years ago, but it's still really part of modern classical music. And I wonder if it possibly has anything to do with my Middle European descent that I sort of feel the gypsy overtones in this, but I think it's a very beautiful piece of music. The Violin Concerto by Max Bruch.
Part of the slow movement of Max Bruch's Violin Concerto No. 1 with David Oistrakh as the soloist. Now, Ken, what about your being a castaway in a practical sense? I think your years in the Far East should be useful to you.
They should be, really. I suppose for about 3 years I never slept under a roof. In fact, we didn't have any tents or anything like that either, so I should be able to build some sort of comfortable hole or bivouac or something of that sort.
Yes. And what are you going to eat?
Well, I've never fished. That's something that I must learn to do later on. I think I might enjoy it, but I'm very keen on gardening.
Mm.
I would have to start from rock bottom and see what there was to plant.
Yes. Yeah, I believe sailing's a hobby of yours.
Sailing is, yes, one of my most important hobbies when I've got the time. It might be useful, too, because I wouldn't like to count up the number of the hundreds of hours I've spent on renovating and refitting different boats at different times.
Yes. Could you build a craft with no tools?
I think I might be able to, because when I was out in the Far East, I remember seeing Malayan fishing boats and Chinese fishing boats, and I was very friendly with some of the fishermen, and they were built with no nails, screws, or any metal pieces at all.
How's your navigation?
Well, I think that's pretty good. I mean, after all, I was a geographer, you see.
Of course,
I was trained.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, if you could construct a craft, would you try to escape or sit it out on the island?
Well, I don't think I'd like to face a long, lonely sea voyage, you know, over uncharted waters with no sight of land. I think, on the whole, I would build a craft purely for sort of practical use and leisure for fishing and so on, and stick it out on the island.
Right. Disc number 7. What now?
This is a piece of South American music, which, well, I say South American, it's really Latin. It's Latin American because it comes from Mexico. The Trio Los Panchos are one of Mexico's best trios. This is a piece of music that I came across a few years ago when we started Guitar Club, and I began to meet a lot of people who had interests in other types of guitar music. This struck me as a particularly beautiful tune, and this record I don't think has ever been issued over here, although other groups have sung it and played it. But this is the Los Panchos version of Una Aventura Más.
Aunque me beses con loca pasión y yo te bese feliz con la aurora que llega, muere mi corazón por ti. Yo sé que soy una aventura más para ti.
Una aventura más, played by the Los Panchos Trio. And now we come to your last one. What's that going to be?
My last record, well, it must be one of Django Reinhardt, because Django, this French gypsy guitarist, I think is one of the greatest natural musicians of this century. He's been a man, a guitarist, whom I've met and admired, well, pretty well ever since I started playing guitar. This is, I think, his best-known composition, and I know it's the one that he liked best. And although it's rather sad, and this particular recording was only made about a month before he died, nevertheless, it's a beautiful piece of music. I'd like to have it with me. It's Django's Nuage.
Django Reinhardt playing his own composition, Nuage. Well, there are your eight, Ken. If you could only have one, which would it be?
It would have to be the Django, I think.
The last one?
Yes.
And one luxury to take to your desert island.
Is a wife a luxury?
Wives aren't allowed, I'm afraid.
I think I would take my guitar, although, mind you, having it there, I'd probably play a lot and it would be work.
Yes, plenty of spare strings. And one book apart from the Bible and Shakespeare.
I should think with the Bible and Shakespeare there would be enough literature and food for poetic reading. I think something very practical. I thought about possibly a book on small boat design. But in fact, most of my life has been spent on the sort of humanities and the arts. And I think what I would like is something that would give me the sort of basis of science, you know, right from the principles upwards. Something perhaps like Hogben's Science for the Citizen. It's over 1,000 pages, which is good money's worth for a start.
Yes, indeed. You shall have it. And thank you, Ken Sikora, for letting us hear your choice of Desert Island discs.
Well, thank you for inviting me to this salubrious island.
A pleasure. Goodbye, everyone.